We're going to continue with our study in the parables and also on the theme of prayer. Does everybody have that? Luke chapter 11, page 1258 in the Pew Bible. And this is what we read, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he's a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pause and pray together. Father, today you have laid upon my heart this parable of prayer. And you want all of us in this place to hear and to reflect and to practice prayer. And I pray that as we enter into this word, enter into the parable, to your instructions, that you will teach us about prayer, how to pray when we're by ourselves, how to pray when we are with others, and how to pray for others. Lord, teach us how to pray. That is our request as well this morning. And I thank you that you are willing to teach us. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit, would prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I have no doubt that many of you who have been believers, or even if you're not, but you're somebody who prays, must have a lot of questions about prayer, right? You ever ask yourself, does it work? Is it worth praying? And sometimes we ask questions like, you know, I prayed, but it didn't come to pass, And sometimes we have theological questions, God is sovereign, he has ordained all things, the scriptures know the future from the past, God knows everything, and what's the point of prayer? Why should we pray? And if God has predestined people to believe, why should we pray for others? There's a lot of questions that we have on the topic of prayer. And sometimes those questions, I think, paralyze us. Because I can't figure the answers out, what's the point of really praying? And Luke, in chapter 11, just starts off very simply by saying, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And just the thought of Jesus, the Son of God, the one who knows the Father, the one who knows the answers to all these complicated questions, here he is praying. And he prayed often, and he prayed regularly, and he prayed alone, and he prayed with others, and he prayed for a whole range of issues. And even though he knows all these theological questions that we also have, yet the bottom line is when we come to scriptures, there is our Lord and Savior praying. And that should be a motivation for us, that even if I don't understand it all, even if there's still some mystery about praying and how my prayers and God's sovereign will come together, yet Jesus prayed. And if the Son of God prayed and needed to pray, so will I pray. And if the Son of God commanded us to pray, then I will pray. And that's a place to start when we have a lot of questions, just to remember that Jesus prayed. And again, as I said, even though there's much we don't understand and there's much mystery to it, Jesus by his life taught us that things will not come to pass unless you pray. He taught us that you will not be able to live a holy life unless you pray. You will not see the power of God unless you pray. You will not know about salvation and experience it in your own life unless you pray. This Jesus taught us. And we start with the word of Jesus and the practice of Jesus. Now, it was very common for rabbis to give their disciples a prayer to pray or teach them about prayer. And certainly that was the case with John the Baptist. He would teach his disciples about prayer. And here too we have a disciple that comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, teach us to pray. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if one of the reasons this disciple asks Jesus to pray is because when he looks at Jesus' prayer life, things happened. God answered prayer. And in comparison, perhaps, to their own prayer lives, they would say, my prayer life is impoverished. I don't know how to pray like Jesus. I don't know how to ask God for things the way Jesus asks. And so it's not surprising at all that Jesus, you know, would have a disciple say to him, Lord, teach us to pray the way you pray. How do you know what to pray for? How do you know what to ask of God? And so that's where really this story begins, is by a disciple asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so it's very interesting what Jesus does. He gives them a prayer. He gives them a prayer, and what a prayer it is. There's an author by the name of Marcus Dodds, and he wrote a book, and he entitled that book, The Prayer That Teaches Us to Pray. This is the prayer that teaches us to pray. So if you want to know how to pray, if you want to learn about prayer, if you want to grow in prayer, you must prayerfully pray this prayer and put it into practice. So let's begin looking at this prayer before we look at the rest of the chapter, because I think a lot of people especially have questions about Jesus' words, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. We've all had questions about this. How universal is this offer? Can any one of us come and pray anything and we should receive anything? Now, what I want to point out is that this verse is found in the context, in this context, and Jesus begins, let me first learn this prayer. This is the prayer you must learn. It will teach you how to pray. And so I have no doubt that the disciples were just waiting. Okay, how do you pray? And what's the first word that Jesus says? The version in Luke is a little bit different than the one in Matthew, but the first word is, start by saying, Father. The first thing you have to know, the first thing you do is you set the context and the tone for prayer. Who am I speaking to? More important than what you're asking and will I get it and all the rest, the first question is, who am I speaking to? What is my relationship with this person that I am about to ask something of? And Jesus says, when you pray, remember that you are speaking to your heavenly Father. And that means that when you come to him, you're coming to him in this relationship of father-child or son and daughter. That's how you have to begin thinking about prayer. Who am I praying to? Is it my boss? Is it a government official? Is he the king? Like, who first and foremost am I about to talk to? It's Father. My Father is who I am approaching. And when you realize the context, it should change everything about your prayer life. When you realize who it is. You see, your employer is interested in certain parts of you. And in your giftedness or why they hired you. But if you go off and start doing things and saying things and are difficult to get along with, well, you're out. But your father's stuck with you as a son, as a daughter. And you as a son and daughter are stuck with your parents. It's a permanent relationship. It's a very different kind of relationship. In 1 John 3:1, we read, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, his children, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. First things first, who are you praying to? What is your relationship with this person you're about to speak to? If he's your father, that should set the tone and the context. And that's the first lesson that Jesus wants us to learn. You start with that tender word, Abba, Father. Okay? Prayer is not about technique. It's not first and foremost about how much can I get or what can I ask for. It's about this relationship. You have to have this relationship where you can call God Father. That's where you start. And once you start there, when you begin to pray and you realize that by grace, through Christ, you now have this relationship with Jesus, you can call him Father. And then Jesus says, and then say, Father, honor your name. I honor your name. What's involved in that? It's just to show and have this profound love for your Father. Tell him, Father, I love your character. I love who you are. I want to grow up to be like you. I admire you. Everything about you impresses me. I honor you, and I want your name to be honored. And Father, I love what you teach us about life and about relationships and about justice. You're right, O Lord. And I want to live out your commandments. I see in them the highest wisdom. And that's where you start, with a sense of admiration and worship to the Father. I want to be like you. I love everything about you. There's nothing that I would change. There's a story in Genesis about Joseph. Remember that good-looking hunk of a guy who got in trouble because of his good looks? Still the same today. Get in trouble. Anyways, Potiphar's wife was interested in him, and she says, lie with me. And in Genesis 39:9, this is what he says to her. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? What was on Joseph's mind? God's honor. How can I do this? How can I do this? And so when you seek to honor the Lord, you will know what to ask, all right? And you'll know what not to ask. You'll know what to seek and what not to seek. And you'll know what to avoid. And your attitude will be, whatever is dishonoring to my Father's glory, to his character, to his plan, whatever is contrary to his word, I will not ask these things of him. I do not desire them, because my greater desire is to honor my Father. That is where Jesus says you start. If you want to learn how to pray right, and eventually we're going to talk about asking and seeking and knocking and receiving and all the rest, but this is where you start. Because if you've got this right, you're going to know how to ask. If you don't, you won't know how to ask. But this is where we start. And then Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come. And of course, that assumes what we find in Matthew as well, that your will be done. And the prayer here is almost like, Father, how I long for your ways and your wisdom to be known over all the earth. I love your ways. They are just. They are true. They're full of light. And I look at the world and I say how impoverished the world is, how broken it is, because they've walked away from your will. They're practicing things and living in darkness because they don't know your will. They don't know how beautiful your kingdom is. They prefer their own kingdoms. I prefer your kingdom. I prefer your will over anybody else's will. And so there's this desire to just see God reign. Because when you rule over the earth, there will be peace. Your ways are perfect. Your ways are of peace. Father, may your kingdom rule and reign over every heart. May the people be filled with the knowledge of God. My Father is the King. And again, when you start with that, really, it's going to make a big difference of what you're going to ask for when you're committed to the kingdom of God and to asking that his will be done. And you won't ask for anything that is contrary to his kingdom and to his honor and to his glory. Here's an example from Jesus' life. Remember when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter took out his sword and he was ready to fight for Jesus, to protect Jesus. And in Matthew 26, 53-54, Jesus said this, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? You think I can't ask the Father for that? I can. But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? I will only ask the Father. I will only pray for those things that are consistent with his will, with his kingdom, and with scripture. And in scripture is what will reveal the will of my Father." This is how you start with prayer. This is what Jesus is saying. First comes the Father. First comes his character, his honor, his kingdom, his glory, his will, his word. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. Start there. Start with worship. Start with the relationship. Start with honor. Otherwise, you will not really know how to pray. You will not know how to ask, seek, and knock. But once we have these in place, notice Jesus then begins talking about our needs and those things that we should be asking of the Lord. It's just dawned on me yesterday that when Jesus starts with the word Father, it is a very relational term, but in terms of experience, I would say that fatherhood is also a relationship that involves endless requests by your children. Isn't it? Isn't it interesting? Yes, you start with father, but you don't think of, oh, because he's my father, I won't ask. Kids, you know, and different requests will come as they're growing up, but boy, they never get tired of asking for things. You know, when they're younger, there's maybe protection, fixing stuff, counsel. When they're a little older, it's maybe getting rides, food, cash. You know, there's always requests. So when you call him father, again, don't think of it as simply as, oh, that means I can't ask him of anything. He's too high. Yes, there's more to a relationship with a father than getting things, but asking for a whole range of stuff is part of what being a parent is all about. So Jesus says you start with father, and then once you realize who he is, then you know how to ask. You will begin to ask. See, my kids already know what kinds of things not to ask me, right? Don't you know as a child? I know what my father won't give me as well. That would not be to his honor. I would get in trouble. Once you know the person, it's not a blank slate, then you know how to ask. And Jesus begins. First thing is ask for daily bread. It is right. It is acceptable to ask your father for help in meeting your physical needs. Again, Jesus is saying, look, you don't have a father who, you know, when you're committed to his glory and to his kingdom and to his will and you care about his word, that somehow he's just going to leave you alone and let you suffer as a result of serving him. He's committed to you. He's committed to providing for you. And when I look back at my life in this area, I have to say the Lord has provided, and he still provides. I was with my 3-year-old niece in the summer, and I was early morning playing dolls with her, and she was having a great time, just, you know, having Uncle Vic spending time with her playing dolls, but it went on for a little bit too long in my point of view. But then I say, okay, sweetheart, it's time for me to go and eat something. I'm getting hungry. And she tapped my stomach and she said, what? You're not starving. And it's like, yes, and I want to keep it that way. And it's true, I'm not. The Lord has provided. He's been good to me. And this is something that Jesus says. Listen, ask God for provision. We don't always know how he's going to provide. It may be through other people. It may be, you know, through getting a job, whatever it is. But the Lord says he will provide for us. Really, this is when my concerns and priorities are your concerns and priorities, then be sure of this, your concerns will be my concerns as well. That's what the Father is saying to us. So he doesn't want us to be anxious and consumed about our physical and material needs to the point that we have no room for the kingdom of God. Seek it first. And so there's this trusting attitude. Just be committed to the kingdom of God and pray for your daily bread. And then Jesus goes on to say, and also pray for forgiveness. Every day, pray for forgiveness. You know, every day we make decisions and choices that don't bring our Father honor. The Lord is saying, he's not going to fire you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to disown you. What does he want us to do when we've dishonored him, when we've sinned against him? He wants his children to come and ask for forgiveness, knowing that when we ask, we shall receive. The Father wants to forgive his children. And so there's this invitation, come to me. And again, I'm so, you know, encouraged, so glad that Jesus included this line in this prayer, because so often we get to a point where it's like, oh, surely the Lord is, that's it, I've crossed the line, he's never going to accept me back, I'm undone, I'm unclean, go away from me, Lord. And just for Jesus to be so kind as to put this in here, always come back and ask forgiveness from your Father. He always wants you to come back every day. Come back, get right with him. What a wonderful and gracious line in this Lord's Prayer. And he also wants us to be forgiving other people, that as we come and ask for forgiveness, that we should be realizing, look, if I'm asking God every day for forgiveness, then I should be forgiving other people as well. And so come and ask for God's grace and strength so that we may forgive others who have wronged us. We honor him when we become godly, godlike. We honor him. And notice, after we ask for forgiveness, then what? Then we pray, lead us not into temptation. And this too assumes Matthew's line, deliver us from evil. Look, it's no accident that first you ask for forgiveness, and then, you know, and we pray that God would just take whatever it is that makes us guilty and is an obstacle between us and the Father, and ask for forgiveness. It's no accident that then we go on to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. First we ask for forgiveness, and then we should always pray, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because what this says is, Lord, I don't want to repeat this. I don't want to keep doing what's wrong. I've asked you for forgiveness, and now I want power to be delivered from the evil. Take me away from the temptation. I spoke to an individual many years ago, and he had tried to commit suicide, but failed. And later on, he told me that before he took the pills, he had taken them with the intent to overdose, and he said that he had prayed, and that he had said, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. You see? When you learn the Lord's Prayer, you would never pray that. You pray first for forgiveness, and then you pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. Keep me from temptation. And that's the way it should be with all of us, regardless of what prayer it is. When we ask for forgiveness, always go on to ask for power to live a holy life before God, for victory. And Jesus is here assuring his disciples that God will hear people who are sincerely praying for deliverance from temptation. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? It's the prayer that teaches us to pray. When you learn this prayer, you will learn how to pray. You will learn what to ask and what not to ask for. Let me point out one other feature about the Lord's Prayer, and that is that it has no trace of individualism in it. Again, if I can bring in Matthew's prayer, it's not my Father, it's what? It's our Father. When he prays for daily bread, his concern is not simply about, Lord, give me my bread, it's give us our bread. So he's thinking about everybody else's hunger in his life as well. He's not only praying for his forgiveness, forgive us our trespasses as well, deliver us from evil. And so when this prayer is all about learning how to intercede for other people as well as praying for ourselves, that we're not just focused simply on who we are. It's not being selfish or self-centered here. And Jesus, again, through this prayer, is saying, this is how to pray. You pray by interceding for others, even as you're praying for yourself. This is how you pray. This is how you learn how to ask, seek, and knock. All right, so with this in mind, let's look at the parable. beginning with verse 5. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice here is that the context of asking has changed. Remember, it started off as a child praying to his father, and now we have one friend asking another so-called friend for a favor so that he can minister to another friend. So there's 3 friends involved in this story. And it's important for us to realize, you know, that this third friend who is coming at a late hour, he's coming and he's hungry. And the person wants to be hospitable to his friend. He wants to take care of his needs. And he looks in the pantry and there's no bread. There's no food to give him. And he just really doesn't want to say no. And so he starts saying, how can I fulfill my responsibility to my friend to be responsible and to minister to him? And so he says, I'm going to go ask my other friend. I'm going to ask him for bread because I know he's got some. And so he goes to this neighbor friend and he knocks on the door at a very ungodly hour and he asks for bread. And the neighbor is ticked off because he's already gone to bed and all his family is with him and maybe even some of the animals might be in the room as well. And so he's reluctant to help. I just wish he would go away. This is such a great inconvenience for this guy to be coming at this hour. I'm probably going to have to wake everybody up. And anyways, he thinks of numerous excuses for why he should not help. But as we see in the end, he gets up and he gives his neighbor the bread he requested. Now, here's one person who is asking. Remember, this is a big theme in this context here. He's asking for something. Why did he actually get this bread? Why did he get what he requested? I guess one way to answer it is just simply to say, because he asked, wouldn't it? He asked for it. That's why. So this parable really is confirming what we read everywhere else in Scripture, that if you don't ask, you won't get it. Some do not have because they ask not. So the reason he got it was because he asked. That's what Jesus wants us to know about this parable, that there are things that you will never have unless you ask for it. You will not have the abundance that God wants to give you unless you ask for it. Again, there's a passage in Mark 9:29 that says that on one occasion the disciples were trying to cast out a demon and they weren't able to, and Jesus was able to, and they came and asked him, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. Without prayer, you will not see the victory. So exactly what did this asking accomplish? You can see this, you know, it started a chain of events that aroused and awoke this man up, got him up so that he went and got what was needed and gave it. Does prayer arouse God? Does prayer, in a sense, awaken God? Is prayer what starts a chain of events that will eventually result in people receiving what they ask for? That's what this parable is teaching. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to ask. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. It's so simple. I mean, really, it's so simple what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to ask. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know what Jesus wants you to do? He just wants you to ask. Lord, forgive me and come into my life. Make me a child of God. Look at the thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come with your kingdom. And Jesus turns to him and says, I tell you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. What did he do? He asked. That was it. How complicated is that? God has made everything so easy. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The publican is down on his knees. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And Jesus says, when by the time, you know, he walks out of there, he's already a saved man. What did he do? He asked. How simple is that? That's what Jesus wants people to do. But notice as well here that he asked, but his asking is also described as boldness. He asked boldly. And some say that the word actually means shamelessly. It is a shameless thing for him to do, to get somebody up at that hour of the night. And Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be bold and shameless in their prayers and in their requests. That's what he's telling us to do. Now, perhaps Jesus is, you know, looking at the disciples and saying, you guys are so timid about prayer. You guys ask God for such small things as though God doesn't want to be generous with you, as though God isn't willing to give you the world if you will just ask him. Be bold when you pray to your Father. And by the way, the Lord's Prayer is a bold prayer. Who are you? Who am I as a person who has rebelled against God Almighty to come before him day after day and say, Holy God, Father, I've sinned. Sorry, forgive me. Like, if you don't think that's a bold prayer, we still don't have a clear picture of who God is. Why should it be? Why, you know, even the idea of asking for bread for our daily needs. Like, somebody else might say, you're bothering God with that? You think the God of the universe has got time for you to eat a breakfast or a meal? And it's like, it's bold to be praying the Lord's Prayer. But when you know God is your Father, that's what he's saying, then, you know, like, a lot of other people might have to be polite, but children just run into the room and say, Dad, can I, you know, be bold in his presence? Come. Walk into his presence and speak to him like you're his child. I told you this story about Alexander the Great, how a general once came up to him and said, asked him for a great sum of money for his wedding. And Alexander said yes. And it was his treasurer that got really upset, as is usually the case. And he heard about it and he wasn't happy. And he said to him, Alexander, this is unheard of that anyone should ask for and receive such a great sum of money. And he says, I had to do it. I had to give it. And the treasurer wondered, why? And he says, because the fact that he asked me for such a great sum of money honored me. For I know what he thinks of me. He thinks I'm not only rich and powerful, he thinks I'm generous. His very request honors me. And so I let him have it for this reason alone. Because the requests honor him. They may sound shameless to somebody else. How could you? How dare you? But Jesus says that, you know, these requests to your Father can honor him. And again, let's be clear that this parable isn't trying to tell us that God, you know, we have to nag God the way this friend nagged him, or that God is like this friend who really doesn't want to give this person what he needs. It's more a, you know, if sometimes you ask people and they do it because of your shameless and bold asking, like, again, God is so different. You can rely on him. He's your Father, and he does want to give you this so that you can minister to your friends and to other people. He does want to give you this. Now, verses 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you see what's happened here? All these other verses are sandwiched between, a prayer that is from a child to a father. And again, he concludes this section by talking about a father-child relationship. And, a lot of us, we have questions about asking. And here again, it's very important what we learn here, that if a child asks you for something which is good for them, then as a general principle, the parent always gives them what they ask, what they give, because it is good, and the parent wants to bless them. So if you learn how to pray for good things, then the Father will give you these things. You can depend on them. And everything in the Lord's Prayer is a good thing. And so it's saying if we pray in accordance with God's word, we're asking things for his honor. We want to see his kingdom furthered. We want to pray for the needs of others. Here it's saying just come to your Father because he will want to give you these things. And so there, again, he's teaching us that we should come, we should ask. In the last verse, though, it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a lot of things that we can do in our life without prayer. There's a lot of things that we can make happen in a church even without prayer. We can buy a lot of things without really praying about them. But there's one thing Jesus said that you will never, ever know or have or experience, and that is the Holy Spirit in your life. You will never have that without asking, without praying. And so we are called here, even though when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, this is so that we may know the Lord more deeply, that we may walk with him more closely, that he may fill us with his Spirit. And he says, if you want that kind of intimacy and close relationship with the Father, ask him. And it's a good thing that you want this relationship, this intimate relationship with God. Come before him. He will want you to have it. And now let's look at the final verses, verses 9 and 10. Now that we've looked at the context, and he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. I think for many of us, very often, we ask about, really, is like, are there no limits to this? And as I'm trying to encourage you to realize is that yes, there are limits. It's within the very context here, and it's implied even in the last verses. For example, what if a child asks for a scorpion or a snake? Should the father give it? Obviously, what this is saying is that if a child asks for good things, then the father will give us these things. And again, friends, I really want to encourage everybody. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows whether you need trials in your life. The Lord knows what place you should live, who you should marry, whether you should marry, where to minister, and all the rest. He made you. He designed you. He knows all these things about him. Come to God, praying to him, knowing that he knows and has a plan for you. He's not neutral in regards to you. He has nothing but the best in mind for you. Pray for him with that in mind. But again, why does Jesus seem to open the door so widely and speak so positively? Jesus knows the Old Testament, and he knows that there are all kinds of situations where people don't get what they ask for. And the story that came to my mind is David, after he had an affair with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba got pregnant, and the prophet Nathan came to him and rebuked him, and David repented. Do you remember what he did? He prayed, and he fasted. He would not eat. He would lie on the floor praying that God would save that child. That's what he prayed for. And many of his servants were concerned, watching him, you know, day after day without eating. And it says the child died. The child died, even though he prayed with all his might, fasting and all the rest. I mean, Nathan had already told him that his child was not going to survive, but David continued to pray, hoping beyond hope that he was going to get that. But as soon as he knew what God's will was, and it was settled, then he got up and he went on about his business. May the Lord's will be done. Again, you look at Paul praying because he has a thorn in his flesh to be removed. We all want healing. And Paul prayed, and what does he hear? Paul, I know you. I know what you need. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul hears it, knows the will of the Lord, and goes on. Even Jesus himself prays, take this cup away from me 3 times. Why does he say this 3 times? But then when he knows, he says, but what I want more than anything else in my life is the will of God for my life, whatever that may be. God, I trust that you're committed to me, committed for my good and for the best of who I am and for what you made me to be. So Jesus knows all these stories, and yet he still says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open. And here's what I believe, friends, about this, that I don't think this is a blank check where, you know, just go ahead and write anything in it. As I said, there's a whole context here. There's examples in Scripture that should bring it to mind as well when we're praying. But the reason I think Jesus is so, like, extravagant in his claim is that all throughout the New Testament, this is always the way he talks. He doesn't say, okay, guys, I want you to pray, but first let me tell you 30 things you should not pray for. That's not the way he does it. He doesn't put the limits first. First he says, I want you to come. I want you to talk to me. I want you, anything that's bothering you, anything that's causing anxiety in your life, come to me. Completely open. Come to me. And everywhere in the New Testament, we see this over and over. It's keep on praying. Don't lose heart. Ask, seek, knock. Wake up your friend at midnight if you must. Go back to the city judge, but keep on coming. It's, I want you to pray. I want you to come. I want you to ask your Father for what you need. I want you to seek your Father. I want you to knock on the door of your Father's house. I want you to do these things. And so that's why we find these words from Jesus. And here's the truth of the matter, that as you learn to pray and as you learn the word of God, you will begin to realize in due time, okay, I'm not going to pray for that. I know my Father's will. I'm not going to pray for this person because I know my, you know, the Lord has made it very clear in Scripture. There's things that I'm not going to pray for. There's places I'm not going to go into. There's relationships I'm not going to have because I know my Father's will. But this is a maturing process, and we will learn as we go. How many of you are ashamed looking back of some of the things that you've asked God for? I am. I can think of things that there's no way I would share them with you. But looking back, when I first was a Christian, I asked some things, and like, God, why don't I have it? And I look back, and man, was that ever a self-centered request. That was for my glory. That was just for me. Now I get it. It's not about my kingdom. There are things, and as we learn to pray, see, if you have all these questions and all these problems, you stop praying. And Jesus doesn't want his children to stop praying. And that's why he's opens it up. Just come, whatever it is, come, ask, and come expecting to receive. And, you know, yes, there's all these negative experiences that some people have had, but learn how to pray, and in due time, you will learn how to ask and pray in accordance with God's will. But I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to ask for bread. I want you to ask for forgiveness of sins. I want you to ask for protection from sin. And I want you to pray that God's name be hallowed, first of all, and that his kingdom come and that his will be done. Ask these things and you will receive. Seek them and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. God is calling each one of us to pray. Our Father, thank you for your invitation. You're just an awesome God. Thank you for this prayer. Lord, so often in our lives, we're praying a very different prayer. I pray that we would keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus who prayed and taught us how to pray, that we would come before you knowing that you're not just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are these things, but you are first of all our Father, Abba Father, and what a privileged people we are to be called children of God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.